You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Podcast. Can't wait for the Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's right. This is our Pro Bowl preview episode. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast. I'm Dan Hansis. I'm in a virtual room, and possibly still in a virtual room filled with some heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. That's right, Mark. And you had hinted that you were going to have a Wi-Fi issue. Well, now we've lured you into this podcast, and we're going to go deep dive on AFC v. NFC.
Well, you bait and switched me because Greg even went through the problem of coming up with six or seven news items that I spent a ton of time, you know, researching, but we're talking Pro Bowl.
What a manufactured joke.
I had to check our old site, NFLGesus.com, to make sure it is NFC, AFC, because as much as, like, that makes sense – and I get it. I was more of a Team Sanders guy. And I know, like, Team Sanders, Team Irvin no longer with us. But I kind of wish they would just keep it that way. That was when the Pro Bowl, to me, was at its peak, Team Sanders.
If you want to – well, they've done a really – I have to say, they've done a really excellent job cultivating the archive on our website. So there's probably no way to find it. But once upon a time, I was tasked with doing a live diary of the Pro Bowl draft, the first ever. It was Rice versus Dion. And Jerry Rice had one of the worst drafts that you could possibly comprehend. That's one of the only things I remember. I also remember they did a stand-up live hit that they threw it to at one point, and it was, I don't know who it was, maybe Irvin or Mooch, and they were by this, like, rocky sea where the waves were crashing upon the jetty, and it was like, oh, my God, these guys are going to get swept into the ocean and killed at the Pro Bowl live draft telecast.
Utterly needless way to die. I couldn't. It would be a terrible way to go out.
Was that the same draft that Henry Hodgson almost ended someone's career in the newsroom and was very angry? It was very memorable.
He killed a man and got away with it for not quite having the live draft on the website going in the time or as live as Henry wanted it to be. But Handsome Hank is one of those guys. He's handsome. He's charming. He's British. But if you get on the wrong side of him, look out.
Right. Look out. He's also going to be commissioner in a couple years. So the power, his external power continues to grow by leaps and bounds. So I do my best to stay on his good side.
Right. And in this case, he was on the side of the righteous because he was removing a thorn in everyone's side from that newsroom. So ultimately, sometimes it takes a man like Henry to step up in that situation.
All right. I don't know. I don't know if that was necessary context, but I guess it helps out Henry ultimately.
It was true. I was on his side that night and beyond.
Wait a second. Is that? I think it is. That's Connie Fox's music.
Look at this.
That's right.
There's a wolf in the podcast studio. We're at
what
home.
Are you? This. Wait a second. This is some epic bullshit right here. First of all, Colleen, I'm so happy to see you. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast. Always a joy. But you're doing it from the Chris Wessling podcast studio, the very studio that me and the boys have been banned from for going on a month now. This is an issue. This could be a civil lawsuit. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, not only that, I'm doing it from the studio. I'm doing the show from your chair, Dan, where you sit.
Oh.
So I'm just keeping it warm for you, buddy.
Oh.
I mean, does that feel just to you, Colleen? Do you feel good about the way this is, the way you proceeded here?
I think that I feel very comfortable in this situation, in this seat.
The lighting is great.
It feels nice. Yeah, the lighting is great. There's people buzzing around. I don't know why you guys aren't here. You should come check out the studio. It's beautiful. Love what you've done with the place.
Listen, I understand we continue almost impossibly for 2 years running to be in the grips of a global pandemic, and everyone's trying to do the right things. But I think it's time for the boys to get back in that studio. Greg, what do we have to do? Is there a shadowy league figure door we have to knock on? Do we have to go see Dr. Sills? Like, what do we need to do to be together again in the Chris Wessling podcast studio?
Maybe like just set up a little desk next to the desk or extend the desk. You know, I think that's it. Because remember that 1 week you weren't there. Mark and I got to do it. The desk big enough for two people, not for three. I feel like we could figure this out.
We will try. Connie, how are you? It is Super Bowl week, almost. It's the Super Bowl bye week, and how you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I'm getting my energy up for this week. I was just taping a show, Super Bowl Countdown show in studio with David Carr, talked to Lamar Jackson and Stephon Diggs. I didn't know we were talking about the Pro Bowl today, so that's some good breaking news. I'm excited about that. Going to bring a lot of perspective for that topic. But guys, I've missed you. It's great to see you. Great to be back on the show. And I'm excited to hang out with you guys this weekend. It's going to be great.
Yes, it is going to be excellent to be together. We can't be together right now, but this weekend we'll be all together celebrating Chris Wessling on the year anniversary of his passing. Obviously sad, but also it's nice to be together, and we're going to do a lot of the things, Mark, on Saturday that were the hallmarks of the great times we had with Chris when he was with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like we all think so much of Chris every single day, but one of the enduring concepts that Wes brought to my life was that when you hang out on a Saturday, you do something that is extremely memorable every time, and it is never anything but original. Wes was one of the better hangs on planet Earth, so we will do it in his honor.
Absolutely. So, by the way, before we get into the show, we got a lot to get to. There's some news, obviously the bombshell involving Brian Flores dropped right in the middle of our Tuesday show, so we'll get some updates where that story is from Tuesday afternoon to right now when we tape mid-afternoon on the East Coast after 12 here. So we're going to check in on that story. A head coach hiring on the way in Minnesota, and it's not the guy that we kind of thought it was going to be a day ago. And also, this will be fun, thinking like when you look forward, you spin forward into the offseason. We're very close to Hollywood. Connie, right now you're technically in the district park called Hollywood Park. And we are, if you are where I live on a hill, you could see the Hollywood sign. So we're not in the middle of it all, but we're near the glitz and the glamour, right? So what if you viewed the off seasons of teams upcoming off seasons through the lens of Hollywood? And one of the things in the business, my wife works in the business, is securing the rights to tell a team's story. And you got to get in early. You got to get in, you know, somebody got in early on the Kurt Warner story, and that thing went all the way to the theaters. And Mark's going to give a full review Super Bowl week.
I mean, early. It happened 20 years after the real life events, but they were the first ones to nab it, correct?
So we're going to get in on the ground floor with telling. Some of this is projecting. We're using our football knowledge. What are going to be the best stories of the offseason, the teams that are going to be the most exciting and are going to bring box office? So that's coming up later. We're going to put on our studio honcho hair pieces and giant cigars and dark pasts hidden away.
It's good. I already have my hairpiece on, so perfect.
Dan, did you get a hair? Dan always gets a haircut about like 11 days before the Super Bowl. He likes to talk about the magic window. So that would mean you've already gotten yours?
Yes, very good, Greg. See, that's good. That's a personal side of you connected to me, knowing things about me, because our relationship has gone on for years.
I've also noticed
you've shaved, which makes you look more like
your young sons.
It's time to come out of the wilderness of the end of the regular season. So Papa Bear is coming out of the cave and trying to clean things up a little bit. And thank you for noticing. My boys noticed. You have noticed. Others have noticed. My wife has still not noticed that I shaved.
I noticed it too, but you and Greg are such indestructible bedfellows that, of course, you know, he would verbalize it first.
We got so much to get to, but Mark, and I think you would handle this with sensitivity. Can you send a message to my wife for not noticing that I got shaved, like I shaved down here? Like, what's going on here?
I will handle that.
Yes.
I will handle that right after the show ends.
Just have 20 clowns show up at Dan's house.
You're like Jim Harbaugh. You just want to be wanted. Just he likes so true. You want more attention.
All right. So this is. I know I mentioned Super Bowl already. We got Bengals. Who are they playing? The Rams.
Mark's favorite team.
Bengals Rams, Super Bowl 56, a week from Sunday, and we're going to get into that and dive deep next week with three shows from Radio Row in downtown Los Angeles. It's going to be sick. And then Sunday night, the flagship show, the final show of the season, where we break down everything that happened in the game. I don't know if anybody had anything they wanted to share about the Super Bowl, because I'm about to shut down the term Super Bowl for the rest of this episode. Penalty is loss of limb if you even reference Super Bowl. Anybody have anything to say about the game so far? I know it's been a little quiet on both fronts. Understandably so.
I just want to say Super Bowl. You know, just get it out of my system. Just feels good. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl.
I do like that the Bengals have to practice at the University of Cincinnati this week because they don't have an indoor facility, and they're going to be playing the Super Bowl indoors, and it's cold there in Cincinnati. If Wes was here, he would know some things about the Bengals still haven't changed. It's 2021, your billion-dollar NFL franchise. How about we go get an indoor facility to practice at?
That's fair. Maybe the increased revenues that comes with being a winner and having a franchise quarterback and going to a Super Bowl, maybe the Mike Brown family will
focusing on the negative. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time in Cincinnati.
All right, let's lock it up. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Hey, Ricky, let's send the Super Bowl downstairs to the basement. That's good. But let's keep going. Let's take it a little further. Put it behind want to put it in a bank vault?
Yes, please.
Whoa.
All right. Why don't we put it behind a door?
Target locked.
Oh, that was the ocular cavity access drop. Very good. So we have this thing buried. There is no conversation about the Super Bowl. I just did it.
I thought it was in the sub basement. Come on.
You blew it. So this is, and those were the sound effects that you were having.
There goes an arm.
Right before the
show. Dart right in that clean shaven cheek.
Actually, wait, Dan, if you had to lose a limb, which limb would you lose first?
Good
pinky
question.
Pinky toe.
Does that count?
Is that an easy limb?
That's not a limb.
No, that counts.
Oh, I thought you meant that doesn't count as appendage.
That's like a lower digit. I mean, that's a...
That's kind of what I had in mind in terms of penalties, but I guess since I said limb, I don't know. It's got to be an arm or a leg then?
Maybe we can decide for you.
Yeah,
I'm fine with toe, Dan. You know, I noticed your hair,
Hey, Mark,
Want to take the toe off.
Dude, you're the best, buddy. All right, let's do some news. And let's start with a story that rocked the NFL. The day after announcing his lawsuit against the league, Giants, Dolphins, and Broncos, Brian Flores has now elaborated on his allegations of discrimination, racial discrimination, and unethical practices involving certain figures in the league. And he was on CBS's morning show Flores was on Wednesday, and Nate Burleson, our former colleague, asked how it felt to be part of what Flores alleges was a sham process during the interview with the New York Giants.
How did that make you feel, knowing that you were walking into an interview where a decision might have already been made?
It was a range of emotions. Humiliation, disbelief, anger. And I've worked so hard to get to where I am from in football, to become a head coach. Put 18 years in this league, and it was to go on at what was going to be a what felt like or what was a sham interview. I was hurt.
After Flores filed his lawsuit, the NFL issued a statement saying it had no merit, but that, according to ESPN, was only connected to the accusations of discrimination in hiring processes. The ESPN source said the league will investigate allegations that Stephen Ross, the Dolphins' owner, offered Flores money to lose games and tank the Dolphins' 2019 season to get the number one overall pick, which would have been Joe Burrow. So, Greg, where are you on the story? What do you feel like we've learned since Tuesday to now?
Well, I think Cameron Wolf's reporting, who's now with us at the NFL Network, we've had him on the show, the Wolf Pack, in effect, with Colleen and Cameron. He's had some reporting where he talked to a witness who said he heard Stephen Ross say those words. So that is providing more evidence into the investigation that is a little easier to see the NFL following through to the utmost degree in the coming weeks and months, if they were to find that is true. And Stephen Ross came out with a very strong statement saying it was all malicious lies, and that's going to be a big story that we follow for a while. Wolf said that Flores's team rather said that they have corroborating evidence, including messages from the general manager Chris Greer. So that goes to the integrity of the game, which I think was very pointed, that he put that item and the Broncos item into the lawsuit, because it made it bigger than just trying to prove the discrimination, which the Belichick texts obviously will assist him in doing that, and really makes it bigger. And it comes very specifically after one owner, Stephen Ross, who, like I said, it took him almost 2 days, but did release a statement around midnight on Wednesday, Miami time.
I think it's interesting, too, that when you look at Hugh Jackson coming out and he sort of backtracked the claim that the Browns offered him money to lose games. He went on SportsCenter and said basically the way that the team was built, there was no chance to win at a high level. But I thought that was really interesting when those reports first came out that Hugh Jackson was also in a situation where he was being offered money to tank. I mean, this is just so incredibly messy for everyone involved. And watching Brian Flores on ESPN and on these various outlets, I just see a man that was driven to the absolute brink. And he is obviously to a point where he's willing to risk it all just to get the story out there, just to maybe help inspire some type of change for people to come after him.
Well, he really thought he had the Giants job, right?
Yeah.
Right. He really thought he had the Giants job. And once I got to read all the details, that was part of it, is he really thought he had an inside track there based on things someone in the front office had told him there. And he said that was his dream job, essentially working for the Giants, and the way it flipped essentially when Joe Shane became the general manager. Also points out something we kind of talked about, like, why are they doing these interviews without the general manager? It just is sort of a confusing way to go about it. They sort of did these preliminary interviews. And so that I think that was part of it, the heartbreak of that, how that Giants thing played out. And it'll be interesting, too. Like, Belichick will be asked about this eventually and whether he's going to need to cooperate if it ever does go to a civil trial. Like, that's a long way down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know how Belichick got that information. I mean, we all do. And I think with, like, you look at the Broncos situation, because John Elway came out very strongly to say, hold on, your perception of that interview is not the same as mine. And, you know, Elway was described as disheveled in the suit, you know, during that Broncos interview. And, you know, the more we're learning that that Denver didn't get into Providence, Rhode Island for that interview till 2 a.m. I think they had been interviewing Mike Munchak for the job back in 2019, the day before. And so Elway kind of came up with, here's why I maybe presented myself that way to you, but we'd been through a long day. That said, I mean, my takeaway from Brian Flores through all of this is that this is one of the biggest sports stories that we'll ever deal with, because if real change comes through this, and you know, there's a reason to be suspicious of the owners in general, that real change is not happily coming easy to them on this front, and it's not happened. But Brian Flores, this is not just trying to get back at someone or be vindictive at all. I mean, he talked over and over about change, and just my takeaway from him, getting to know him more through these interviews, is that he is putting his entire career and life on the line for this, and it's for other coaches. And I see someone who genuinely believes what he's doing, and that's how I do think that the NFL could be changed forever, coaching practice wise, because Rooney Rule, like the way it came in and the way it's being used, and X, Y, and Z, it's just simply not working. Flores is finally going for it.
There are two huge stories here, obviously. So one, and they're both massive in terms of the NFL. One is the hiring practices and all the issues and problems that continue to plague the NFL in that realm. And then there is the competitive issue and the talk of tanking and paying a coach to make the team lose. And then Hugh Jackson, who was involved with one of the worst teams of all time with the Browns when they went, 1-31 or whatever it was, over two seasons. He comes out and he says, it doesn't hide behind anything. He says, allegedly, he says that he was the same thing was done. Basically, he was being told by ownership, it's okay to lose because we're trying to build towards something. And I just think that is, I don't know how they fix the issue with hiring the right people in head coaches and front offices, because it is a thorny issue and there's a lot of layers to it. And that's something the NFL is going to have to look in the mirror on and ask some hard questions and figure out some answers. This other side, this is the one that's like, whoa. I mean, this could lead to owners exiting the picture. This could lead to major sanctions against various teams. And you wonder, as we peel back the layers of the onion here, if the story is just going to keep ballooning. We've talked about it in broad terms for years, and it's not just the NFL. The idea of tanking and how teams are trying to lose to get that hotshot coming into the draft to rebuild the organization. But what would happen if there was actually proof that teams are doing it and monetary rewards for losing? Meanwhile, the fan, the big loser in all this is the fan. Mm-hmm. If this is true, you're charging the fans the same amount of money you are if they're trying to win, or as if you're actively trying to put a losing product on the field and asking people to pay $200 for a ticket and $80 for parking and $200 for concessions. Like, this is massive.
Well, I think we would learn a lot more, too, if it gets to the point where this lawsuit moves to the discovery phase. And then that's when it really gets messy. But also, a starting point for moving in the right direction and changing some of these hiring practices that we've seen is, how about a black owner in the NFL? I mean, that's probably one of the main things that needs to happen to have that representation at the absolute highest level. And then another thing I just want to clarify real quick. Are we saying that, like, Bill Belichick is saying that he got the wrong information? But when you look at the text messages, I think it's clearly that Belichick just texted the wrong Brian.
Yeah.
Because he says
he got confused.
Okay.
He got confused.
Just making sure that this wasn't totally Belichick confused.
I was surprised,
mixing up the Bryans.
Right. I was surprised that people were like, well, how would Belichick even know? It's like, what are we talking about here? Like,
Bill Belichick.
They're all in the same industry. Coaches all talk to each other, and it's not like he's like reporting it on a national level. But whoever he's talking to, like, they all work together. He's in the middle of hiring offensive staff, defensive staff. Like, it's a network of people who talk, and he had clearly had information probably from, you know, a very high level that he believed, like, he knew what was happening there, and he sent the wrong text. And it is interesting, because I think without that text, none of this is happening.
That's the most granite piece of evidence
And that's really the focus. I think it's key when you look at the lawsuit, you know, it starts talking about Black History Month and everything to do with the black coach. And that's really the focus. And that's what started this. And I think his anger and hurt about the Giants thing started it. And then while he's there, you can imagine Brian Flores, and you could hear him talk about it in these interviews, how upsetting it was to be offered that money, you know, what he's alleging, that he's held on to that for a while, and that, you know, now that he's doing the coaches, he went for the whole thing. And I think it's instructive, Mark, as you said, that the statement was reportedly about the coaching hiring, and that our reporter, Ian Rappaport, you know, said that an investigation is expected into the competitive accusations.
I mean, there has to be, right?
Right. Yeah. But that's instructive. I mean, that right off the bat, that is hitting a different bell inside the league office.
We should note that he is Brian Flores is a finalist along with Jonathan Gannon and Josh McCown for the Texans job. I mean, you'd like to see Brian Flores, who is a very talented coach, still get a chance to be a head coach. I hope that's the other side of this. He's acknowledged, you know, this may end my chance to do that. And he loves coaching football, and it's like, it shouldn't, but the way this league works, you never know.
The general takeaway out of all this is that Brian Flores is forfeiting a chance to be a head coach again in the NFL. And that certainly is possible. I think it would be, obviously, it would be a positive sign if he was hired, because he is, and I mean hired now, because he is obviously qualified for the job. And what he's bringing up are the very same issues that we've talked about on this show with Steve Weiss, who's been incredibly informed and sharing information on this for a long time. He's just bringing it up in a much more broad way that shines a spotlight on the issue. So we'll see. He is a finalist. You're right. They announced that. So does he have a chance to get a job? I don't know. Is he out of the league completely? It's certainly a possibility. It was a bold gambit. There's no doubt about it.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, let's check in on what else is going on in our league. The Minnesota Vikings, huh? How about that?
Weird.
The Minnesota, I don't know, did you guys read, there is, speaking of The Athletic, did we bring up The Athletic? I don't know.
Chad Graff. When did that happen?
I don't know.
We did last show, and I just consider any time in between shows is kind of a waste of time. Our lives are lived on air.
Right. Did anyone read the piece from Chad Graff and John Krasinski on the Vikings head coach?
Yes. Sir,
it is tremendous.
It's very well done.
That is great work. And it tells the story with inside nuggets from people that were inside the building or connected directly yesterday, how it all happened with Jim Harbaugh, who I think the general vibe from us and many others was that, okay, Harbaugh's flying to Minnesota. There's reports out there that when he left Michigan, it was kind of like a goodbye. This is a done deal. But the real story of this, Mark, as you know, is that Jim Harbaugh was never quite the leader in the clubhouse. In fact, the Vikings, during a very thorough search to replace Mike Zimmer, they were a little bit spooked by the idea after a taskmaster, a guy that was kind of a hard ass in Zimmer, was finally moved out of the building. Do you want to bring in another guy that has kind of an edge to him, especially after they flew to L.A. and interviewed Kevin O'Connell, who blew them away? And that's ultimately where they decide. They never even offered Harbaugh a contract.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about, you know, literal line from the article was that Harbaugh arrived at the Vikings headquarters early in the morning, brimming with his trademark confidence. And, you know, there was a sense that I think for Vikings fans that, you know, you're getting Jim Harbaugh in the building. Maybe this is just a coronation that of course he's going to get the job and these other names don't mean anything. But they made it clear to him, abundantly clear, it said, that Harbaugh was coming in to compete with the other guys for the job. And they had really already been super sold on Kevin O'Connell. They loved him. So it was not this, it wasn't like those interviews had no meaning. They absolutely did. And they, I think the questions they started to ask him led them as a group, the search committee, in a direction where maybe they were just not comfortable with the concept of Jim Harbaugh on all fronts. It said sometime around 3 p.m. for reasons that are not exactly clear, things started to take a left turn. The tenor started to change. And if there was any momentum at Harbaugh's back as he tried to secure the job, it disappeared. So it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever had a job that you thought you'd get. You went for that last interview and somehow you don't get it. I mean, I typically nail these things, but, you know, it doesn't always happen to everyone. You can lose it in an interview. And I think that Harbaugh probably did not think that someone named Kevin O'Connell was going to come and influence the way he did. I mean, it seems like they found their guy despite Harbaugh.
For Jim Harbaugh to interview on National Signing Day, 1,000% he thought that he had this job. There is no world, no right. way that he is flying to Minnesota and risking losing the job and having everybody see him lose the job. Like, this is a man who's super proud. Why would he do that on such an important day on the college calendar too? And there were reports that he was telling his recruits that he might be gone and sort of being transparent about that. So I think for me, clearly Jim Harbaugh wants to maybe leave college and get back into the NFL, but I think that he thought he had this in the bag.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he works for the University of Michigan, and people there thought he was leaving. TheWolverine.com, which is, you know, I guess the premier website essentially covering Michigan football.
I guess
he was gone. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a better one out there, but
it's the Wolverine
prominent.
Or nothing.
It's mm-hmm. it's prominent. And I saw other places kind of running with this, too, of like, well, if the Wolverine says so, he's gone. And they said he was gone because he started saying some goodbyes. And he's just like assuming that he has the job. And whether that was right or not, I mean, something happened. ESPN reported that essentially he acted like a guy who thought he didn't really have to interview for the job either. Like, he kind of just showed up and was expecting to get it, and that created an awkwardness.
And I was reading between the lines a little bit, Mark, in that piece, and when they talk about the search committee met with O'Connell, and they were blown away. He had studied the team's roster from the previous season. He came prepared with ideas on how to improve the team and was able to offer a nuanced review of quarterback Kirk Cousins, whom he coached for one season in Washington. I'm reading between the lines, it almost feels like Harbaugh just like rolled in with some, you know, big energy, big blank energy. And maybe when they said, all right, what's your plan? He's like, well, I'm Jim Harbaugh. Go look at my resume.
Absolutely. I think to what Colleen and Greg said, that's exactly the case, that, you know, these days you have to go in with it. Kevin O'Connell did what you should do in an interview, have a dense, you know, thought out plan for the people that are on your roster that you're going to be taking over in a week or so. And he had that. And Harbaugh just said, look at me, I've already done this. I'm rolling in and being Jim Harbaugh. It's like, that's not going to quite cut it. And their new GM had worked with Harbaugh in San Francisco. They asked some pointed questions about what happened at the end of that run, because it got ugly. And like, what happens to the Vikings in the Jim Harbaugh experience? Not in year one or year two when things tend to go well, but when you start to get grumpy and angry and starting to have a wandering eye, that's where the Jim Harbaugh experience goes south. And I don't think he was able to answer those questions. It probably became more tense and uncomfortable. And I just wish I had been able to see it. It sounds
that's hard
quite,
knocks.
Quite delightful. Yeah.
Give me that for Hard Knocks behind the scenes.
The wandering eye part of this too, I think, is really interesting, because now he goes back to Michigan with everybody knowing that he has this wandering eye, and that it wasn't reciprocated. It was not.
Right. Oh, he was trying to get out. It was he assumed he was getting an NFL job to do all this stuff. He let his defensive coordinator go to his brother John in Baltimore. That was part of it too. He thought this was going to happen, and the Dolphins are a little part of this. And there's some conspiracy theories out there. I don't know if I'm going to believe him or not, but Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, said publicly, because he is one of the biggest, you know, Michigan donors and backers, he's a Michigan grad, that he would not be the guy to take Harbaugh from Michigan, because he didn't want to do that to his college. Now, he was the guy who tried to hire Harbaugh in the same cycle that he ended up going to the 49ers way back, struck out, didn't happen. And it's just fascinating, because some people think that's a marriage that would happen if not for what's happening now, or that Ross didn't want to make that look bad with Michigan. Meanwhile, our guy Ian Rapoport reported that it was Tom Brady who was set to meet Brian Flores on that boat with ownership in Miami. And again, a Michigan alum, so you can sort of, you know, connect the dots all there. And it's just like all this stuff is swirling together, and it is a wild pre-Super Bowl week.
But Stephen Ross saying that he didn't want to like mess up the whole relationship that Jim Harbaugh and everything he had going on at Michigan,
Miami,
for him to come to Miami, that feels Miami not true. Like, why? That's either coming from Harbaugh not wanting to go there, or Stephen Ross not actually wanting him. Because if Harbaugh's doing interviews with teams like the Vikings, obviously the want was there.
Well, these guys always tell the truth, so I just believe it at face value.
Also, there is a sea change in the NFL, and there's a 36-year-old offensive hotshot connected to Sean McVay and all this stuff. That carries a lot of weight, and I know Harbaugh has a ton of success, but he's an eccentric 58-year-old guy. I think the league is just getting younger at the position.
Young GM, too. I think that seems awkward, like an awkward fit, a guy who's a first-time GM and Adolfo Mensah and Harbaugh trying to work together. We should talk O'Connell, because like, he's an interesting guy. You mentioned he worked with Cousins. Cousins had a good year with him. He was his quarterback's coach in 2017 in Washington, went to the Pro Bowl, one of the better Kirk Cousins seasons. Never been a play caller, though. You know, was drafted. I remember when Patriots fans were furious that the team drafted him in the third round, because people were like, why are you burning third round picks on backups? They ended up doing that a million times with Jimmy G and Jacoby Brissett and Ryan Mallett, and that just was sort of their thing that they did. But O'Connell was the first one, and it's insane that he was like he was supposed to be the backup to Tom Brady like eight seasons into his career, and yet he's now a head coach in the NFL. It does, you know, point out some of these guys rise pretty quickly, and I think that's why, you know, some of the black head coaches that have been around longer or had bigger experience get upset when someone like O'Connell kind of skips to the head of the line.
All right. In other news, yes, it is indeed the Washington Commanders. After 87 years with the former name, there were 2 years as the Washington football team, which will never, for me, ever be anything other than the stupidest thing in the history of the NFL. The franchise announced Wednesday morning that its new name would be the Commanders. It also unveiled the new logo and uniform. So, yes, Joe Theismann, you know, he did give it away.
You blew it!
And since we're talking about Joe Theismann, I don't know, Connie, if you listened to Tuesday's show, but...
I did.
Joe had some real trenchant thoughts on Commanders, so listen up.
A lot of Commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
That's true.
I mean, that's it.
It's hard to argue.
You can't argue it.
I heard Sessler go pretty hard on the Pentagon.
Oh,
so
came after the Pentagon hard.
That's
that
not
quote
even
again.
Controversial. Like,
play it
acting
again.
Like the Pentagon is, you know, writing poetry and looking, doing nice things
play it
all
again,
the time,
Ricky.
Please.
A lot of Commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
Once again, Mark, there's nothing saying the Pentagon is this paragon of purity. He merely mentions that Commanders reside within the Pentagon's walls.
A lot of Commanders in Washington, D.C., yeah. In the Pentagon.
Was I too critical of the goings-on inside the Pentagon?
I just say be careful.
Potentially.
Be careful? I mean, it's, you know.
You're a conspiracy
theory guy. Just lock your doors.
Right,
sure.
he's still upset because he thinks,
suggest that,
he thinks they took out, you know, JFK, so he's upset.
No. That's just reducing it down to something, you know, that's folly. I mean, there's nothing but a continual drumbeat of the Pentagon doing things that are suspicious, along with things that we can wave our flag about too. If you want to do that, I mean,
there is something about it. Just it's random. Pat Daugherty at RotoWorld, who I like a lot. He said it sounded like
who I like a lot.
Yeah, we all like
him. I also enjoy him.
We all like a lot.
Greg likes him. Cool, yeah. Greg.
I said we like him. I meant, you know, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are. Maybe you're big anti-RotoPat.
Remember when we did our Fantasy Spectacular and I said we got to get RotoPat on the show?
Yeah, that was good.
I believe that I either backed you or actually came up with that idea on my own. So
he wrote that the commander sounds like the first team to hold the XFL and USFL championships simultaneously. That summed it up for me, which is my issue.
In the Pentagon.
I think it's very easy. That's a great tweet. But it's very easy for the old standard, like whether it's a uniform change or a team name. Oh, man, that's like a fake name from a football movie. It's like, well, yeah, it kind of is. I'm more annoyed with you can't shorten it.
Mm-mm.
How
no,
are we going to
no.
shorten this thing?
Because the other
Commandos.
This is not funny, but it's like they're already be called the Washington Commies, which is a mixed message in terms
the comms.
Of
comms.
You know, right.
The comms.
So,
it's just not going to be a great look when they finish last in the division and their name is the Commanders. Like,
right.
They're not going to be commanding
yeah. well,
a whole lot.
Do you think less of Giants
record.
Now? Like, large, giant people now that the Giants are, like, the worst team in the NFC?
Someone noted, though, it's the longest name. Washington Commanders is 20,
it's
20 letters.
That's, too many characters.
You got to put that those characters in a headline. It's a lot.
That's
a lot
tedious.
Of commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
I get it, Joe. Joe, we get it. You
right.
educated us through this whole process. And finally...
We should mention, by the way, what a week for the
what
NFL.
What is this, the Greg Rosenthal We Should Mention episode?
No, well, while we're talking Commanders...
Way to mess up his transition again, Greg.
I should have before the show mentioned that Dan Snyder, their owner, had to put out a lengthy press release denying new allegations of sexual misconduct directly against him. That came out in a press conference this week. So that was timed specifically with this name change, but it's quite a week that he had to release that.
And Greg,
it's
not
going to end there either.
I don't make light of this. It sounds,
no.
You know, you take that with gravity, the whole thing, but it was a cheerleader, as I mentioned in our sandwich props prior to the season that, you know, unfurled the allegations against Dan Snyder. So just that only backs up my sandwich prop, which I already won because the cheerleader already had been involved in problems.
Wait, what is wrong with you?
What do you mean?
didn't you get your sandwich?
Yeah, I'm saying, but it even...
So
it,
you're
just, it just
spiking
shows
the football
you.
Now. You're just
yeah,
spiking.
It just shows you that...
You're
like,
spiking the football connected to some hideous allegations?
I said I do not back the... I don't... I
Guys,
find
it's
them.
Been great. Awesome
yeah,
show.
Right,
I'll see you later. I got to get out of here.
finally, if there's anything else, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who's been in the news this week, homina homina, and he has an iPhone, Ricky and Connie. He issued the following. He issued the following statement on Tom Brady's retirement. I'll just read a piece of it. Hit it, Ricky. I am privileged to have drafted and coached Tom Brady, the ultimate competitor and winner. Tom's humble beginning in professional football ultimately ended with him becoming the best player in NFL history. Blah, 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 dash Bill Belichick. I just want to tell you something. Belichick is a smart guy. I mean, he's stupid in that one instance that's caused a major issue in the NFL. But otherwise, very shrewd, very smart. This is what you do. It was very small of Tom, not to mention the Patriots. Bill rolls in with a glowing statement, and it just makes him look better.
Well, he's also doing some damage control right now.
It's connected? Okay, interesting.
He had a change of subject. He had a very similar statement when Brady left the first time. Brady did respond, you know, in very 2022 fashion, you know, in his Instagram stories, you know, showing that statement and then saying best coach ever. I love you. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. So once you go triple heart emojis, I feel like everything's cool now.
I think it's going to be emotionally taxing to Dan on multiple levels when Brady, with no complaint, rolls into Foxborough and you're fill in the blank for multiple, you know, Patriots ceremonies and feel good scenarios. Like I don't see the grudge at this point.
He heard the feedback because he released another video on Thursday and he said thank you to all my supporters and teammates and everything, and he capitalized all, and it was heavy on Patriots. And I did get a note from a communication professional who his theory, and he at the
was
highest levels, no, a friend of mine who had worked the highest levels, he said you'd be surprised, like when it's stuff like this and it's panicked, he thought it might have just been user error. He really thought it might have been a panicked, like, quick thing, and it wasn't a lot of thought put into it because...
Wait, user error by Tom Brady with his statement?
Right. Essentially that there was a lot of...
Wait, who is this guy?
That wasn't just pressing, like, Control-Alt-Delete by mistake. I mean,
he put
a lot of effort put into that message, I thought.
There was a lot of effort, but that it just went out too quickly, and it's like, what? It wasn't really too
that
well...
Come on,
who is this? A communications professional told you this?
Former White House worker. Oh. I'm not going to go even farther than that.
But what does he have to do with it?
He just thought basically the rapid response of Tom Brady's team was just bad. He's coming back from the other.
Who was this? Oliver North or something? Were you speaking with Oliver North? I mean, who's the operative?
He had 4 days to cook it up.
He had a good theory too of like that. It went so hard on Tampa early because he knew how Brady was feeling very. apologetic that basically the part that Adam Schefter's report coming out really hurt.
Wait, I'm
Brady
sorry, you
was
still
that
talking about the communications guy?
Yeah, he hadn't told the Bucks. No, I'm saying he hadn't told the Bucks yet, and that's what the Schefter
Greg,
report
why is
hurts.
He? Why must he keep his identity secret? It feels like he's just sort of throwing out.
It's more fun that way. It's more fun.
All right, but
is this a friend of yours?
It is.
I have no idea what's happening at this point.
That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break, and then let's head to Hollywood.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com, or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back. Hit it, Ricky. Hollywood, something, 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 Hollywood, Hollywood, something, something, glitz and glamour and fame. Official lyrics. Here's how it works in the business.
I love this.
Glitz and glamour.
I feel like I need a feather boa right now and a martini.
You would, you know, you kind of have the look, Connie, especially now you have the short do compared mm-hmm. to when we first met you and it was long. Like you could easily, if you had like a flapper type get up, you would look right. If you put somebody in those like 1920s shots, bang. Mm-hmm. Is anybody right.
I love an
to
old
that?
Hollywood feel.
Like you're an old Hollywood aesthetic. Flapper.
That's me. The old
in your
flapper.
California room in your house. I mean, it fits too well.
That's true.
All right. So in the business, as it will be referred to going forward, because only people in the business call it the business. And we're in the business of show. This is where Greg jumps in. Well, before we move on, we should say one thing.
You have an update on your inside source from the White House, your communications guy?
That dude. Who is he?
That was good. I'm really glad I did. That wasn't planned.
make a movie is a long process. But the first thing, if you're telling a true story, is you need to gain the rights. And Mark's had such a long and winding career as a writer before becoming a NFL network personality. Maybe even Mark investigated this for one of the fascinations he's had in his past. Is that true, by the way?
Absolutely. I had come up with two concepts that hit a hard wall. One was a adult Nancy Drew who had a major pill issue, but she had cast off the idea of being a girl investigator to be an adult, but then she gets pulled back into her true destiny. The second was ET2, where like Elliot and Gertie are adults, and clearly they're totally fucked up mentally because as kids they met an alien and no one believes them. So it's, you know, at them in their current state. And both ideas, they were said, like the idea, you're not going to be the person to write it, and you right. certainly are not going to get the rights. Have a nice day.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
is that
good.
What you're speaking to? Or you
no,
well,
the,
here,
the chutzpah on this guy thinking he has the rights to E.T. too.
Right.
I didn't think I would. But it was,
well, I wasn't talking about, like, that's existing IP, E.T. Okay. So well, I'm talking about, we'll use Kurt Warner again as the example. Kurt Warner, what a story. I want the rights to his story, so I will pay Kurt Warner, lock that in, so no one else could tell this story, okay? At least not with his guiding hand, okay? We're going to tell the story of an NFL team this offseason. Now, this is where it gets tricky. You have to kind of look into the crystal ball a little bit. You got to look at where the team is right now and how things can play out before figuring out who's the story you want to tell. So I'll get it going just because it's easier that way, and then we could all get a shot at this. And this area of the football universe is sometimes not properly, the story isn't told. So I'm actually going to shine the light on the NFC South and the Carolina Panthers. Mm. I'm buying the rights to the Carolina Panthers 2022 offseason because there are several situations, several things going on at the same time here. As we've heard for years, David Tepper, since buying the team, he wants results. He wants to be a big fish. He wants to be the NFL version. This is all kind of conjecture and hearsay, but let's buy into it. He wants to be Ballmer over in the NBA, the Clippers owner, a guy that comes in, makes a grand entrance, buys the biggest players in free agency, immediately puts together a contender. He's learning, Tepper, that it's hard in the NFL to do such a thing, especially if you don't have a quarterback. So you have this in play, the Sam Darnold drama. It didn't work out with Bridgewater the year before. He needs a quarterback. He's now been waiting for 3+ years since becoming owner to find a quarterback. So there's a QB panic going on right now, and that could lead to some things, some drastic measures being taken. Now you have the possibility as well of the best player on the team being traded. That is Christian McCaffrey, who has made $30 million over the last 2 years to play about 7 games, injuries, but when on the field remains an electric presence and arguably the best running back in the game. Could Christian McCaffrey be used as and dangled as a trade chip to bring in the quarterback we want? So we got an angry owner, we got a scared as hell head coach who knows he's on very soggy ground right now, and a huge hole in the center of the roster. Give me those rights. Let's follow along with this story, because I think there could be some splashes.
I would watch that.
I like that. I mean, I'm thinking of titles.
It would get Ely involved. Keep Pounding, I would think, would be the title.
Keep Pounding.
Keep Pounding.
Perfect.
Man, that is a really nice element to the seg that I wish we would have thought of before. Have a title for the movie. Yeah, I'll work on that. I'll workshop that. But Keep Pounding is the working title. Another industry, more industry jargon. Also remember that the Panthers went hard for Matthew Stafford last year. So they want to find and identify someone like that again this year. All right, Connie, how about you?
Okay. Well, I actually do have a title for you. It's a working title. I'm just spitballing here. But my movie would be called How We Doin'? And we're going to Philadelphia. I know, shocker. But there's just way too many fun things happening there for it to not be a movie. And we've seen so many movies be made about Eagles fans, Philadelphia fans in general. So there's a rich history of movies coming out of that sports city. Silver Linings Playbook, Invincible, who doesn't love those movies? But Howie Roseman is the point of How We Doin'. The GM, we've seen him drunk with power before. And this year, I don't think is going to be any different. He has 3 first-round picks. And with the way that the Eagles season ended, wonderful that they made the playoffs. The expectations, I don't think, were anywhere near this being a playoff team at the beginning of the season with a brand new coaching staff and Jalen Hurts finally getting a full season to be the starter. They ended up in the wild card spot. They got embarrassed in Tampa Bay. And I think that going into that game, I'm not sure a lot of people thought that the Eagles would by chance maybe move on from Jalen Hurts, but that game was just so god-awful that I think it sowed some seeds of doubt. So I think his future is super, super interesting. Jalen Hurts, you have the quirky kind of bro head coach and Nick Sirianni that's a great character. So there's a lot to work with there, but really it's just all the drama with the quarterback position, because that's all Philadelphia. That's what Philadelphia specializes in, is backup quarterback love. And so we'll see what they do with those 3 first-round picks. But we've seen Howie in the past before make some huge trades and move up. He's not afraid of doing it. He's also not afraid of drafting players that are not high on his scouts' boards, like a guy like Jalen Reagor, perhaps, over Justin Jefferson. So much drama just already built in. Story writes itself.
Can I interrupt the pitch here? This is the meeting. This is the meeting at Paramount or wherever. What about the news that Jalen Hurts underwent surgery on his ankle and the fact that he really was a rising talent before he hurt himself? And The Eagles probably more than likely are going to say, let's get this guy back to 100% and see if he could build on what was really promising.
Medical drama.
Medical drama if it's a serious surgery, but I don't know the level of the ankle surgery. It just could be, it could lead to a bit of a deflating of the balloon story-wise if it's just like, oh yeah, he's going to get his ankle done and he'll be okay again.
So what I would do in that situation, Dan, and you know what? I love the point that you brought up.
Thank you, Connie.
Really great. You're so talented at this. What I would do is use that as a big reveal in the middle of the movie, because also you have to consider that Jalen Hurts has never had the same play caller in back-to-back seasons. You got to go all the way back to when he was 16 years old about, and his head coach was his dad. That was the last time. So his offensive coordinators and play callers are constantly changing. There's no continuity. So I think if he's healthy and he's able to kind of get used to an offense and find his rhythm in it and build upon it, that's how the second part, the second half of the movie ends and resolves itself.
All right,
but
make the
whole beginning is filled
with
strength.
We're going to green light it.
Amazing. That's great. Love it.
By the way, I thought of the title of my movie. You know how the, like a prestige picture, it's sometimes like a one word and it's a little ponderous? Mm. My movie's called Pound.
That's, wow.
It's a good sign when you can just start to see it. It's just very easy to visualize, Dan, which you painted.
Yeah, all lowercase. It's gritty looking.
Yeah. Yeah, just a big picture of like Matt Rhule in a sweatshirt and Pound. Mm-hmm.
Time. Anyway, any thoughts on Ricky Connie's pitch there for what was the film called again?
How We Doing?
Well, I like the title. The title suggests great. That maybe there could be some elements, some comedy in there.
Right, we need more comedy. I feel like we need more comedy with
How We Doing. That's already taken.
I think to get Jeffrey Lurie's son has been like showing up to the Senior Bowl, get him more involved with the story. I think. That could be fun.
Oh, that's right. Big Hollywood guy, I think, right? His son?
I think so.
I know Jeffrey Lurie is involved.
Jeffrey Lurie is, yeah.
Greg has his buddy that works for the Eagles. You could have Greg in a walk-on cameo, provide some comedy relief.
He can bring his communications professional with him for, to do him a favor after he did us a favor, so.
I like that he had, the man is a communications professional, and his theory was that Tom Brady forgot the Patriots.
User error.
Not really so much forgot, but just like, it's like in Succession. Like things happen quickly in these situations in major
no
PR
need to
responses.
Do it.
It's maybe I not like that. Maybe less thought goes into it than you thought.
Do you have a comedy,
it was eight pages,
Greg?
Right?
Yeah.
I like it. You know, I think Philadelphia has been overrepresented at this point in football movies.
Nonsense. Although, what?
It's very Eagles fans to like make Silver Linings Playbook about them when it's sort of about mental health and this relationship. It's like, ooh. Oh no, it's an Eagles drama.
It's also all about Eagles fans.
It's very much about the Eagles.
I know. I'm just.
And I was an extra.
Dan
in
just
it,
said,
so
"Do you have a comment?" And that's all I had. I didn't know.
You were an extra in Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in the dance competition, right?
That's right. Yes. Uh-huh. You can see my arm. It's really... That was my big break.
Was Johnny in it too?
No, just me. I was like, I got to go do this thing. So it was fun.
Who did you dance with then?
Oh, I don't... Just a bunch of randos. Once I was there, I was like, this was a terrible decision. Why am I doing this? And I was locked into 3 days.
You didn't keep in touch with them?
No. Oh. Nobody noticed anything.
Various male dancing partners over the course of 3 days. Interesting. This one, because we're friends with John too, so it's kind of now we're in a tough spot of like, should we tell him?
I don't think we should. It's our place to bring it up.
Oh, he would drop me off, and he'd be like, "Have fun." I don't know why.
Yeah,
you're
but
doing
he doesn't know what you're. He's dropping you off with no concept of what you're doing inside the behind the wall of a building. So, I mean, I'm sure it was very pure. I'm sure it was fine.
All right, you got a pitch.
Ballroom dancing. All right, go ahead. Nobody cares.
Do you have a pitch, Greg? Do you have a comedic pitch? Whatever you got.
No, it's not. It's not comedic. It's more dramatic.
Hollywood, something, something, Hollywood.
We're gonna call this Rocky Mountains.
It's
a story of power, of intrigue, of some of the biggest names in the NFL, and it's in Denver. It starts actually last offseason when lawsuits between the Bolin family start between the Bolin ownership trusts.
Saucy.
Different family members, very succession like. All of those lawsuits and really families breaking apart over money. It's tough. It's a tough thing. Eventually settled and leaves us to the point where the Broncos are for sale. In one corner, we've got Peyton Manning involved in trying to buy this team. Another subplot, John Elway, just brought up in our news segment.
Well, is John, involved maybe we'll sit
this in an ownership, fight. So this bidding is going to be the centerpiece of the story, but it's not it. We have a fresh-faced new head coach in Nathaniel Hackett trying to lure one of the marquee stars of the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, to come to his town amidst all of this ownership drama above him. We got A stories, we got B stories, and Jerry Jeudy is our comedic relief. Just a hilarious dude.
He's hilarious.
So lot of Jerry Jeudy.
As the he's really gifted. Comedy. He's a physical comedian is how I would characterize him.
Greg, my one comment, on this. Instead of Rocky Mountains.
It's not a great title.
I would go Englewood. Not Englewood, but Englewood, where their player complex is. It's sort of, it's kind of strange. We don't know exactly what it is.
Out what about,
it's, you know.
Englewood, parenthetical, up to no good, close parenthetical.
Ooh, there we are. See, this is how these like projects it. Start to come together.
So it's like you don't even know what the A story is here. Is it the ownership? Some people will sink their teeth into that. Is it the pursuit of Rodgers? Others people will sink their teeth into that. There's a lot going on.
There's juice even beyond. So the former owner, Pat Bolin, passes away. And as Greg's saying, they're siblings and they couldn't figure out who should be leading the way on it. And then on top of it, there was this other juice. Before Bolin, the owner was Edgar Kaiser Jr. And his heirs wanted to go through a loophole and say that they had the right of first refusal to get back in and rebuy the Broncos. And then another part of it, this is good, Greg, because money makes the world go round. As Mrs. Miller said, my social studies teacher at Pearl River Middle School.
This she coined team, that? I doubt that, but that's
well,
fine.
That was her way to express how so many things, how things move in the world, and it's true. The team is valued at just under $4 billion, and right now in North America, Steve Cohen just paid $2.4 billion in 2020 for the Mets. This would go for $4 billion in that neighborhood. That's a lot. And by the way, to buy in as a on some level, I think Peyton Manning would have to put together over $100 million of his own money, something, maybe even something more than that. So it's
right.
It's
he would
not
they
easy.
Would if he or Elway, especially Manning, were involved, maybe as a it's a relatively minor partner or somewhat minor, but might have an executive type role. There's a lot going on, and just with all these lawsuits and everything going on, I mean, how that billions of money is getting split up is also maybe still up for grabs.
Well, and Greg, what's more poetic than we could have a flashback to Elway doing what he did to get Manning into the building back in the day, but now
that's
it would
good.
Be Manning who would help get Rodgers in. So it's there's a lot.
What if there's and it could connect to the news this week. Elway, he needs to get this done, and he knows he needs to look right. So he actually does an American Psycho type beauty routine, and is like, no one's going to say I'm going to look disheveled for this.
Right.
And he's peels his face and does 100,000 crunches, and he's in the white boxer briefs, and he just stares in the mirror menacingly for 25 minutes, and we do it in real time in the movie.
That's a solid montage.
That's the visual that just takes off in the mind.
This peeling face mask is for John.
All the drama with the ownership, I feel like they need Lakeisha to bring over her sage and just kind of burn it in the
sage.
Building. There.
I think what you're saying is my movie is box office, is what I'm
I think there's I'm a lot. Ask. I think you're cashing in on the Succession angle, which
I
is
did.
Very big
I am,
right now.
I
don't watch Billions because I typically steer clear from Showtime. I don't know why. But I think that's a similar show that's about
as
chasing
a general
money.
Rule. You
don't
just
know.
Don't
just
watch
slow
Showtime.
It's, for me, it's like it's HBO or I'm out on the premium cable. Like if it doesn't have that HBO stamp of approval, I don't watch it.
Wow.
Slightly high maintenance.
You're not like a P Valley fan on Stars. You know?
No, I was gonna say, like, do any of you watch a show on Stars with a Z? I mean,
no.
Upon great recommendation from our friend Lakeisha, P Valley for the first season, and I'm excited about it. And that's
all right,
on Stars.
Well, get back to us. Let us know how P Valley is. Close us out.
All right. Well, you know, not every movie needs to detail heroic events necessarily. I mean, a good movie has a lot of conflict in it. So I want to go to an organization in massive flux. We're going to be calling this working title Jackie Bang Bang. It's going to take place in Houston inside the Texans organization.
Perfect.
And we're going to look at an organization with a lot of warring elements within the building. Jack Easterby to start. The fact that the movie begins right about now where they're making a decision between two potential head coaches, Josh McCown or maybe even Brian Flores. Either scenario would be highly gripping to observe, because number one, Josh McCown, who was simply a player a couple years ago, and you could even have a flashback of him on the Eagles when he was there in your movie, Colleen, to link these two together. But he comes in as a head coach in a way that is almost Hollywood-esque. There's no resume. It's like a very bizarre hire. Or you get Brian Flores returning to the head coaching spot, which would be an incredible story in itself. And then, you know, you've got a quarterback scenario where Deshaun Watson, you go in not liking this character, and you probably don't like him ever in the whole thing. But he was interested in Brian Flores in Miami. That was one of the draws there.
Miami.
So what happens there? Do you start over with it? Maybe someone steps in and just says, listen, we're going to do the right thing at quarterback. We're going to start over. And you just find someone that comes in, again, like a Josh McCown, an unknown. And there's a lot of, like, you know, worst to first, heroic type stuff happening here. But you've got I don't want to call it a bumbling owner, but an owner with some questions to answer on their own front. And Cal McNair, you've got Nick Casario, the second-year GM, who wants to follow a Patriots plan. They put a bunch of one-year contract dudes out there. But now everything starts to come together in this laughing stock. Turns into something else, and maybe along the way we learn that Jack Easterby, painted as a total villain, is he more? Is that all he is? Do we learn about him? Is there character transformation here? And we leave the film thinking maybe this Easterby guy had it right all along, or maybe not. There's just a lot to learn about this team, and I would say, you know,
going behind the curtain of the Texans is fascinating.
Yes.
And I do say, because I just rewatched randomly the pilot of Friday Night Lights, the television show, and maybe Josh McCown could be played up as a almost like a Matt Saracen type, where he's an innocent almost, and he just loves ball, and he just was coaching the high school football team as an assistant, and he's wide eyed, and he just wants a shot. But
it's like the personality of Saracen, but the looks of Tim Riggins. That's what
pretty
you
good
want.
Right. I mean, Josh McCown is made for cinema. I mean, the hair, the jawline.
The jawline.
I mean, right. I mean, he's perfect for this. You don't need to cast it with some, you know, ham and egger. You just put him in it.
And imagine all the opportunities that you'll have for flashbacks. I mean, the Dwayne Brown trade to Seattle when all of the drama was going on there. Was it Ryan Mallett that... Was he the quarterback that overslept and missed, like, the team bus for a game or something? Was it him? I can't remember.
I don't know if that's, like, one of the top moments in their history.
Wait,
that we'd flash back.
It was one of my favorites.
It was fun. It was fun.
Because there is a narrative thread that might bog down the film a little bit. Or, ramp up the stakes and make it more interesting. Did you mention Deshaun Watson?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
Were you sleeping during that part of the pitch?
Oh, it was a rambling... You're like the 4:30 p.m. Friday meeting where the guys have been getting pitches all day.
People mentally left the building, you know, half an hour ago. I get that. But we could get, you know, our friend Seth Payne. You imagine we open, you know, with him in his studio with all these fans calling in. They're furious at the Texans. The thing is a disaster.
And
there's a lot of Seth Payne through it. And like, but then he has to... If the team starts to rise... You are on that firsthand look at Seth Payne in the radio show, having to look at this team differently. We're starting to fall for them.
So,
you know, it's
Seth
very
is
heartwarming.
Like, and Seth will take the job. Seth is the audience conduit here.
Right. Like, he's doing a lot of the narrative heavy lifting, which the announcers in sports movies often do. They are really like explaining a lot of what just happened. I like that.
That's good. You could bring in Lance Erlein too to help with things. I mean,
I don't know if McCown's going to have the time to act in the movie starring himself while he's also being the head coach. Priorities, but that's for another day.
We could also have Dolph Lundgren play Josh McCown's father,
right? It's a movie about the Texans where Josh McCown is actually the coach, but also an actor playing himself as coach. It's very meta. You have no idea what's reality, what's not. It breaks into documentary. It then has, you know, featurettes that are fictional. We're all over
Football
the place.
Inception, yes.
It's very, very Cynodect New York, or however you pronounce that movie, which
it's also filmed.
For me, was too much.
We can film it in reverse order, like Memento. That's the next thing I do with it. All right.
Well, so, we'll film it in Vancouver to save money.
That's true.
Yeah. We could sub in Vancouver, Houston. Anyway, let's wrap this up. The four films, all greenlit, by the way.
Oh, wow. Great.
Here in Hollywood. They're handing out money like it's nothing here in Tinseltown, see?
Tinseltown.
There's the gritty drama, Pound, all lowercase. There is the Eagles feel-good tale, How You Doing?
How we got here.
I thought How You Doing is like a Brooklyn thing, but I don't know Philadelphia too well.
I didn't understand that till now. You got to get the title right, because that's mostly,
so it's stylized.
It was mostly about the title. Name. It was mostly the title.
Did everyone else get that? I didn't get that till she explained that.
Obviously,
that's on me, and I take full responsibility.
I was with you all along, Connie. The right people got it, Connie.
Does it pass the billboard test? Like, if it says Howie doing?
It's just funny too, because like thinking of Howie on the billboard, it's just there's
that'll pack him in at the most.
Well, like Goodwill Hunting is literally the worst movie title ever, and that's a great
film. Pound.
Hey, that's gritty. We have Englewood, open parenthetical, up to no good, close parenthetical. That's up to you. That's your project. It's your project, Greg. That's just the workshop within the meeting. You could lose the parenthetical, but you might lose some funding as well.
I'm fine with I don't have anything better. All I had was Rocky Mountain, some which funding. Was pretty rough. So,
and then Jackie Bang Bang on the Texans.
Right, filmed in reverse order, by the way. Jackie Bang Bang. It's a documentary within a documentary filmed in reverse order.
Oh, I just got the Jack Easterby part of Jackie.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I was
Jackie
a little
Bang
slow.
Bang, because on the side, Jack Easterby, we learn, is also committing, I think it's to excise sort of inner demons. He commits small crimes all around Houston. Sticks up small convenience stores and things on the side.
And by
the
way,
you're going to need Frank Signetti to come in.
Of course.
In.
No, he's
and investigate.
Page
and
40,
just so you guys know, Pound is a hard R. How We Doing is PG-13. Englewood Up to No Good. They're not sure yet. It might be PG-13. It could go R. Jackie Bang Bang is NC-17 at best.
Thank you.
Jackie Bang Bang.
There's like a surprising amount of nudity in Jackie Bang Bang.
Well,
where you're wondering about the man behind the project, what he's seeking to accomplish, truly.
We get it. We're very progressive. Lots of full male nudity. But, like, you know, there's sometimes there's too much.
It's like a ton of doms.
We're workshopping that angle.
All right. We are, we're done for the week. No Sunday show for the first time.
I gotta say this before we move on.
What?
I gotta be Greg for a second. I have had my finger on the trigger all show, and you guys didn't even come close to saying the word that we weren't allowed to say.
Ah, yes.
It would have been way more fun if you guys had slipped up or whatever. I feel like we need to do this again.
Well, how to be real? I'll start the show over.
You're dealing with professionals here, so you know we understood that.
Right,
you know.
But I thought you guys might slip up and it would add a little show. Like,
so you just want to shoot? You want to shoot Greg in the neck with that dart, don't you?
Yeah, I thought he would be like, oh, and then you know,
do you
Denver
want to say it,
goes
Greg?
All the
Super
way to the
Bowl?
Super Bowl.
Shoot him.
Oh, that's gory.
Next time you hear from us, it will be Tuesday. We're not getting on a plane. We are going to be right here in Los Angeles, site of blank blank 56. And see, if you wouldn't have jumped in there, Ricky, I would have absolutely said it just now.
Ooh. Yep.
If it had come up, it's just we were talking about movies.
So yeah,
that's really it.
So we're going to be at Radio Row Tuesday. A show. We'll have a show for you Tuesday. So no show Sunday, no show Monday. Wednesday, we'll have a show for you. And then Friday, we got a double dip for you. We have the Around the NFL broadcast Super Bowl special on NFL Network. And also our annual Friday Super Bowl. See?
Yes, this is great.
I didn't say the second word. I don't know if that – I took the dart anyway, but right in the jugular. Our preview of the game. And then, of course, Sunday night, the recap of the big game. And maybe some surprises along the way. So thank you. Connie, you've said it all.
Thanks, Dan.
And if you're going, I'm sure you had to raise that seat about 2 feet. If you could just return the seat to its prior spot.
I actually had to lower the seat, and now I'm putting my feet on the desk.
That's just disrespect.
How do you like that?
I don't like the disrespect.
Is that gum on the bottom of your shoe? What is
Ow!
That?
No, that's just the way that it is.
Okay, okay.
Let
also,
me...
You know, please clean up the workspace around you. Don't leave, you know, wrappers, bottles of water. It's not someone else's job to do
that. I'll be sure
to
leave you guys some notes.
Let us back in our studio. Please, whoever's listening. All right, that's it. Thank you to everybody for listening. Have a great weekend. And gang, we'll see you on Saturday, and Ricky as well, as we celebrate the great Chris Wessling, who is known to say a phrase that we all have come to admire. Greg even has it tattooed on his arm. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.